Latinos anden despertando. Abre los ojos para ver lo que
está pasando. Put up your manos. Members of Tante Unero, Chicanos, Latinos en los Estados Unidos. Don't care if you're Ricans or even Cubanos. Look at the coaches. We have more common. Don't let them divide. These suckers are vultures. Either we standing together or better be standing aside. Now is the time. Don't know about you, but I'm gonna ride. We gotta climb. Fight for your veins, man. Where was your pride? Where were the gunners that you got inside? Look how our ancestors came to this country. They try to be living the American dream. Don't throw it away. They promise you money and got you raging for the machine. Click a new team. You flesh us a lizard, but that is a system that you want to bring. You need to think. We got to fight communism because it looks like we on the brink. Connect all the links. A one-party system is taking the power from all of the people. We need to think. When will you listen? These people are evil and want you to think. So what is your plan? Hand in hand, we're standing together because it's the one never to do what you can. Please understand. We got to do better so all kids remember that we took a stand. Escucha. 24 es el año, si se puede. Lucha, lucha por la libertad. Órale, vamos.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Latino Free Minds, episode 36. Daniel here with Danny. How you doing, man?
Doing good, doing good.
Cool, cool.
Just getting October kicked off.
Yeah, yeah, it's already October.
I know.
On Sunday, I was like, it's October 1st.
Yeah, starting to see all the Halloween decorations and all that stuff.
I went into a, where did I go into today? I went into a Hobby Lobby, and it's like all Christmased out. I was like, nice. Man, I feel like I'm late, but I'm not even. We're not even there yet.
No, we've seen some crazy decorations and houses, man. It's not like when we were little kids. Is, you know, the houses that were spooky were, they don't compare to anything like what's going on right now. It's budget for decorations. It's like a movie budget, you know, to decorate, you know, their houses. So
for real,
go all out.
Yeah, you definitely see that nowadays. But I just want to say, you know, we had Matt on the last episode, so you know, we got a lot of views on our last episode. So thanks to everybody that has tuned into that episode. And if you haven't, you know, go check it out. It was a pretty good conversation. And then we gained also a lot of new subscribers. So everyone that joined the channel, you know, thanks for tuning in, and hope you guys stay on and share the show. So yeah, man, but back to what we were talking about, the people go all out. It's for everything in general. You see decorations for pretty much every holiday, right? So I don't know. That's the thing now.
It's the thing to do. It's the thing to do.
I struggle to put up Christmas lights, you know what I mean? But everybody does it every month. Something's changing.
Yeah. It's kind of surprising, though. It's like, a lot of people just wait for, you know, this time of the year, and they go all gung-ho with their decorations. It's crazy to see the commitment that they have just to get that done. And I get it, you know, the kids like it and stuff like that, but I don't know. Some of these adults are like, I don't know, they seem like big little kids.
They're still kids.
To this, yeah. But, you know, I can't talk. I've never been the type to, you know, go all out and decorate like that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, no, I haven't either. But, you know, I guess the biggest news that broke while we were since last week to now is that they removed McCarthy. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I think that, just to kind of give like a little thought on that, I think it was the right move, because, you know, I don't think he wasn't pulling through on the stuff that basically he had promised to make him the speaker. So, you know, I think that him getting removed kind of is a good way to put everybody on notice, right? That you have to be if you're going to be in government, be a leader, you got to be a person of your word. So, you know, I think it's a good thing. We'll see how it shakes out. I've been seeing, like, I think Jim Jordan was probably one of the top candidates for that. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I think it's necessary. And then one thing that I kind of figured would happen was that the Republicans that didn't want to remove McCarthy would start gaslighting people. And, you know, they're coming at that angle with, like, oh, you know, something's wrong when you vote with all the Democrats. And it's like, well, you know, I there's a big difference, right? All the Democrats vote against McCarthy because, well, they're partisan. It's a party thing. They probably do want power. And the huge difference is that the Republicans that voted against McCarthy is an accountability thing, not just to be on the same side as Democrats. So I kind of saw that they would be gaslighting on that. I don't know if you saw any of that.
No, I just saw that they were kind of jumping on board to show how divided the Republicans are, type of thing. But I think it's going to backfire. I don't know if a lot of people remember that they had a hard time, you know, getting McCarthy in because he had to agree to things that he was going to be doing if they did vote him in. And I don't know how many times they went to vote, but I think it was
18.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a lot of back and forth, and everybody knew that he was a rhino anyways. So I don't think, if you pay attention, I don't think, you know, it's a big surprise. Mm-hmm. I know that this is the first time in history that this has happened. So they really don't know what to expect or know what to do, really. Obviously, they have to vote, you know, someone in. But, you know, now the Republicans put a lot of pressure on themselves because they have to vote someone in that is going to be hard-nosed. You know what I mean? They're going to look foolish if another rhino comes in and takes his spot.
Yeah.
And isn't hard-nosed, you know, getting after, you know, the things that the Freedom Caucus says, you know, that they're, you know, they want to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they put a lot of pressure on themselves at the same time. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, you know, when he initially got selected, you know, it did take some time. And then that's one of the things that in order, I think, for him to get the votes, they did put that in place where they could motion to vacate if they felt something was, if he wasn't cutting it. So as soon as I kind of knew that, I was kind of just expecting to, all right, when is it going to happen? Like I said, I'm not surprised. But, you know, it was Matt Gaetz. He brought it up and, you know, they got it through. I think from what I understand, I think this Wednesday is when they kind of start either nominating or, you know, that vote round. So, like I said, I saw Jim Jordan was one of the candidates. I think Byron Donalds and I think I saw, what's his name, Steve Scalise was going to also try for it. I don't know about him. He was kind of close to McCarthy. So, you know, I think he's kind of one of those iffy ones.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, it's tough. The only thing that I could say is they put a lot of pressure on themselves. Mm-hmm. So let's see what happens. You know, they're going to, whoever comes in has to be, like I said, hard-nosed when it comes to really defining what the Republican Party wants to do, you know, and what direction mm-hmm. they're going to go. Because mm-hmm. if they voted him out, there's no way that they could get someone in that's going to be heading in that same direction.
Oh, no.
You know? Yeah. So
they'll end up in the same scenario in a, you know, month or two.
Yeah. So we'll see what they come up with.
Yeah. So there's just like one clip of Matt Gaetz from when he was doing his speech as far as why to remove McCarthy. And I'm just going to play this clip. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'll play it and then just kind of get your reaction on it.
When it comes to how those raise money, I take no lecture on asking patriotic Americans to weigh in and contribute to this fight from those who would grovel and bend knee for the lobbyists and special interests who own our leadership, who have, oh, boo all you want, who have hollowed out this town and have borrowed against the future of our future generations. I'll be happy to fund my political operation through the work of hardworking Americans, $10 and $20 and $30 at a time, and you all keep showing up at the lobbyist fundraisers and see how that goes for you. I reserve.
Yeah, I heard about that. And he's right. I mean, if he's laying groundwork, you know, to set a rule that, you know, these politicians can't accept donations from corporations and lobbyists and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. It, you know, I don't see that happening, but I mean, he's talking about it.
Yeah.
And it's always a possibility that he might be setting the groundwork for it to be set up that way, you know, to change the rules that way.
Yeah, no, I think him saying it like kind of shines a light to it. And I think because he said it, I think he is right. I think more of, you know, regular normal people, you know, not no corporation elites or whatever, would be more willing to be like, okay, yeah, I'll donate $10 to Matt Gaetz. And you have millions of people that go, okay, yeah, I'll donate to his campaign. Cause from what it looks like, he's fighting for the people, right? To have these, you know, single issue bills so that we're not passing these big old, what they call them, omnibus that have thousands of pages and no time to read them, you know, stop funding other people's countries when our country is kind of, you know, going down the drain. So I think him doing that, I think he's going to gain more support for sure, because it seems as though he is trying to fight for the better of the people.
You know what's crazy is that what he's saying is common sense.
Yeah.
And knowing that, if you think about it, it is common sense. It's crazy that a lot of people don't pay attention, you know, to the fact that a lot of these politicians and their campaigns are being financed by corporations and lobbyists, and it's not the actual people, you know, that are funding them. And it's crazy to imagine that in this world, in this country, people are okay with that. And him just going up there and saying it, I don't know, like you said, I hope, number one, it gains more support. It shines light, you know, to everyday people out there that are hopefully paying more attention now than they ever have in the past about politics and stuff like that. So I don't know. I can't really articulate and explain how crazy that is. Is that what he's saying is common sense, and that's allowed is freaking crazy. It's like, what do we expect when, you know, these people are being funded by corporations and lobbyists? Is, you know, they're their puppets. Period.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to do what they want them to do, period. You know, that is common sense. And then we act surprised when they don't do what the people want.
Yeah.
And they don't follow through the promises that got them elected. That's insane.
No, and that's why, in a sense, that's why I like seeing that happen, because it's like, all right, you didn't follow through, you're out. I mean, you would wish it'd be like that in all, you know, government positions, local, federal, whatever, right? If you're not doing what you said you're going to do, you know, you're out. You got to go, because, you know, you probably ran on something and you're not delivering. And the people that put their trust in you, that, you know, you only get one vote, and you put your one vote towards this person because they said they're going to do X thing and they didn't do it, then they've taken advantage of you as the voter. And they didn't deliver, right? It's kind of like how you said it last week, right? You look at it as a consumer, right? Or even in this case, I guess it's more like if you're the owner and you hired someone to do a job for your company, right? And in this case, your company is either your state, your city, and all that. And as you would in any job, if that person isn't performing, isn't doing their job, isn't capable of doing their job, then you let them go. And then you look for the next person that's going to hopefully do the job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, in other words, you're fired. Straight up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean,
we've been kind of talking about that in the last few episodes, if not more. It's like, hey, you're not delivering on what you said, on your promises and what you're supposed to be doing. You're not delivering on what we want done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what your job is supposed to be. So you're fired. You're done. That's it. Next. Yeah. So.
And hopefully you hire the most qualified candidate. Because that doesn't even happen. You know. Because, we had the, you know, obviously we had Feinstein. She passed away. She was a senator for California. We live in California. You know, the whole her voting the day before she passed, that's crazy to me. You know, they're just, you know, using a body, right? Using a vote. And, you know, Newsom, he kind of beforehand had already said he was going to nominate a black woman. So, you know, Feinstein passes away. So what does he do? He nominates a black woman that, from what I've been seeing, doesn't even live in California. So, you know, that kind of stuff too is stuff that has to. I don't know if it's because the people are allowing it. You know what I mean? Like we can't allow that. Like we have to find a way to like. That shouldn't be accepted, right? That should be a disqualifying factor. In being a senator, it's like, wait, you don't live there? It's like, you can't be. Each state only gets two senators, right? It's like, you can't not live in the state. And then your vote goes towards whatever federal laws we put in place. Like, that's, I don't know. That should be disqualified.
Well, it goes back to the comment I made is that, you know, what Matt Gaetz said is freaking common sense. What you're saying is common sense, but it's allowed. You know,
mm-hmm.
to have a conversation about how it's allowed and why it happens and stuff like that is a waste of time because common sense says that, you know, it shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, people should be in an uproar. Are people in an uproar? Maybe they are speaking against it, but, you know, we don't see it on TV. We don't see it in social media or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah,
nothing's gonna happen. You know, they're doing the same thing. Is mainstream media isn't reporting on it? It's okay. So, you know, what are people gonna think that it's okay?
Yeah. So nobody talks about it.
We just have to bring attention to it. You know, it's crazy, but you know, there's a lot of good things happening. For example, the whole McCarthy thing being mm-hmm. voted out. That is a good thing.
Positive. Yeah, I look at it as a good thing.
That's positive. So, you know, we just have to keep doing that. So maybe now that people see that something can happen, if there's enough pressure and enough, you know, people talking about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, we start getting these people out of here. Maybe after, you know, Matt Gaetz stepping up and saying something about it and actually, you know, voting him out, maybe, you know, Newsom, you know, gets a bunch of pressure and he has to, you know, start doing the right thing because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It I think it's a bold move, but it's a good move as far as like accountability, right? I feel mm-hmm. like in government, there hasn't really been any accountability at all. Right. So, you know, the country has to head in that direction where we're putting people in a position that are going to do what's in the best interest of the people, you know, and that's something that we've said from the get. It's like, they have to stop putting their party, you know, ahead of the people. And a lot of them have a tough time that, you know, because one of the things I've been seeing is like, oh, this is bad for the Republican Party. It's like, who cares? It's like, it's good for the people. You know, I don't care if it's bad for the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. It's, if it's good for the people and it's going to help us out when, you know what I mean? Like when we're in a situation like we are now with the administration that we have, it's like, then yeah, that's good. So that's kind of how I look at that.
Yeah, but I go back to, who are these people saying that? You know, it's the same people that are trying to tell you that.
It's the same rhinos.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So, to be honest with you, people that say that type of stuff, it's like, you're irrelevant. You know, you're not convincing me. You're not manipulating me. Hopefully, you know, other people aren't falling for that same, you know, trap. And I don't think that they are, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So there's a lot of people, you know, looking at the truth and seeing, you know, what's happening in today's environment and opening their eyes. So
yeah, I saw a news report that Ukraine was worried because of the because McCarthy was removed from speakership.
It should be.
No more money. No more free money.
Yeah. I don't know. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. Is that they try to play the guilt trip? You know, is there's people suffering over there, and there's this X, Y, and Z happening over there, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, people have to have a backbone and stand up and say, well, you know, let's look at our situation here in the United States and bring up all the people that are suffering, that are homeless, that are, you know, in poverty, can't, you know, find a job, you know, can't provide for their families, period. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about them first before we can help, you know, anybody else
out. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's not even about helping us first. It's helping others here first.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's help others outside of, you know, the United States after.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, man. Because, you know, it's how, I think you put it this way already too, but it's like, how is it that we're funding to support another country's border and our border is just, you know, in the shape that it's in? So even in that sense, it doesn't make sense. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, with the amount of money that they're sending out there, I'm pretty sure there's plenty of things that we can fix out here or help out here that would help, you know, stabilize the economy or, you know, help people out in general, make things, you know, I don't know, like here in California, right? We pay all kinds of taxes with DMV, gas and all that stuff. And it's like, it's supposed to go to the roads and all that other stuff. And I think we talked about it before. And it's like, well, all these roads are still all jacked up. You know, maybe we use some of that money, fix some of these roads, and we don't have to be taxed as much. Just a idea, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, but that makes too much sense. We go back to that problem that it makes sense. So, you know, you can't rip people off when you're doing common sense things, you know. It'll be too, everything would be so good. It's like, what the hell are you taxing us for even more? It's like, things aren't working, let's tax you more. And then when they tax you more and things still aren't working, we need to tax you some more. It's like a mental health problem, you know. It's like, let's go back to square one. Just think pragmatically, think, you know, use common sense logic, and, you know, we won't be in the situations that we're in right now. But, you know, we go back and it's the same thing over and over. It's the same pattern. It's like, you know, we're over here trying to make, you know, talk, have a conversation with common sense, mm-hmm. and logic. And that's exactly what they don't do on purpose. So it's like, you know, we're just in a way talking circles, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I get what you're saying.
But, you know, there's a lot of people running out there that actually do want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And you just got to pay attention. You know, there's a lot of people talking about, you know, actually helping the people, helping the communities, mm-hmm. Going back to, you know, doing things, you know, based on their morals and their beliefs and stuff like that. And it kind of goes back to, I guess it's a good segue to, you know, what I was talking to you about earlier today is, mm-hmm. you know, in today's in current environment and the way that people are growing up through, you know, school, popular culture, is they're losing their faith mm-hmm. more and more. I was looking up, I did a quick search, you know, Hispanics losing faith. And amongst Hispanics, you know, there's like people born after the 80s are falling away from their faith, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about that and I was like, well, yeah, it makes sense. You know, you go to school, they try to replace faith with, you know, science mm-hmm. or, you know, fake science, you know, like climate change and stuff like that, mm-hmm. And psychologists and things like that. And I know a lot of people are thinking that, you know, they believe that that's actually a good thing because, you know, you want to follow science and, you know, you want to, you know, be mentally healthy. So, you know, you're going to see a psychologist or therapist or whatever. And I'm not saying that that's all. There's anything wrong with that. What I'm saying is that they're eliminating that faith portion and replacing it solely with that. So then you have a bunch of people, you know, that don't practice a religion or faith, you know, mm-hmm. and we kind of get into a situation where, what is it that they're believing? You know, what are the struggles when people don't have faith, you know, or religion mm-hmm. in their life? Mm-hmm. So you kind of start, you know, seeing, in my opinion, you start seeing a lot of the problems that you do see now and day.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that 100%. Because there's something too, like, you know, believing in a higher being, right? Believing in God, you know, reading the Bible and trying to live your life, you know, through the commandments, because it helps you be, you know, from my experience growing up, right? It helps you be a more responsible person. You know, you're not out there trying to do anything where you're harming people. You're not breaking laws. You're doing your best to be a good citizen, right? To be a good overall person. And, you know, because at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, we're not here for long. And believing in, you know, that once you're gone, you know, you're going to meet God, you're going to be in heaven. Like that leads towards a more, how could I put it? More like fulfilling life where you're like, again, you're doing your best to be a good person throughout your life. And you value, you know, you put more value in your relationship with God. You put more value in the relationship you have with your family. And, you know, that's the important thing. But a lot of the people that are missing that nowadays, it's like, yeah, like I was saying, is there's a void there. There, whatever, you know, effort or energy was going to go potentially into that just goes somewhere else. Kind of like you stated, like climate change, right? Because that's kind of, to some extent, yeah, it gets sort of religious, right? People are panicking, paranoid, thinking they know when the world's going to end and you know, just people living in fear and not in faith, right? Because, you know, someone with faith would understand, it's like, all right, we don't know, you know, the world could end tomorrow. We don't know, right? But we don't go living in fear, even though it's a possibility. The world can end tomorrow, right? We don't know, but we don't live with that fear because we know we're here today. We have faith in God that he's with us, and that no matter what happens, he's gonna, you know, be with us. But basically, God won't put you through anything that you can't get through.
And kind of, you know, making a correlation with what we were talking about politically, and, you know, whether if you have religion in your life or faith in your life, is the comparison that I could make is this, is that, okay, so we have people representing us and, you know, they're lying to us, they're stealing from us, mm-hmm. and we're just accepting it. Why are we accepting that? So we have these people that don't have morals, they're not following through with their word, number one. But if we live our lives that way, whether it's, you know, religion, your faith makes that strong within you, then you're going to expect that from, you know, other people. So someone could say is that we're accepting that because that's absent in our life and it's okay for them to do that and we accept it. You know, that could be a correlation there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the other thing too is that a lot of people go, I've heard this argument too, is that why should I believe in dogma? You know, things that in religion really can't be proved, supposedly can't be proven. We're just supposed to accept and mm-hmm. believe. And it's like, I could say the same thing about politics and, you know, scientists. Mm-hmm. Is it real science? I mean, they've been talking about global cooling in the 70s, then warming all throughout the, you know, 90s, and then climate change, and, you know, that, shores are going to be underwater in the years 2000, 2010, and it keeps changing. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, that's dogma too. If you're going to believe that, you know, there's no science, you know, backing that up. You know, all the science that they've been throwing in our face mm-hmm. has constantly been failing and failing and failing. So I could say the same thing is that you believe in dogma with, you know, these, you know, scientists that are telling us, they're not even scientists really, you know, that are telling us this. Last time I checked, Al Gore was not a scientist. So, no. You know, if we're going off of what they're saying, they believe in that dogma as well.
Yeah. No, it's true. And it's like, I think with the, what was it, like that last storm they had in SoCal? Was it last month?
Yeah.
You know, because they use that as like, oh, look at the climate's changing, look at this. But then it's like, no, well, it had happened before in like, I don't know, was it like 1894 or something? And it's like, well, it's happened and, you know, we're still here. So they like to take those kind of, they're rare events, right? But rare means it does happen, just doesn't happen as often. But they like to take those rare events and they try to conflate them and be like, well, this is climate change, right? This is because whatever we're doing here. And yeah, and if you put your faith in that and you know, you trust those people that are telling you, basically they're constantly moving the goalposts, but you still continue to have faith. You know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, having faith in God is like the goalpost doesn't move. It's like, you know what you got to do to that, you know, to get to that end, or when you get to that end, to get to heaven, you know, where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with these people, it's like you said, it's like, well, in 2000, this was going to happen. Now it's 2010. No, now 2020, whatever. Now 2020, like it keeps moving. And it's mm-hmm. like, that's the, and you have faith in something that is constantly changing versus mm-hmm. something that's been set and doesn't move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's solid. And it's been solid for a very long time. You know, just again, going through the school system and just popular culture and society and everything. I mean, look, if people say that it's not set up so that they rip away religion from you, I'll disagree with you strongly, because that's exactly, you know, what happens. And the numbers show it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are growing up and, you know, they're walking away from, you know, their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, historically, you know, like their parents, grandparents and stuff like that have been a part of. And I believe that that's the reason why, you know, that they're, you know, that mm-hmm. that is happening. And you look at the problems that we have today, is that there's a lot of people that are lost, a lot of people that are mentally not well, unstable. I don't know what the proper word would be to describe them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've heard instances where it gets compared like this, is like faith. And, you know, like you mentioned, reading the Bible and stuff like that is mental health, because if you read certain passages in the Bible and stuff like that, it shows you and it explains to you, you know, things that happen in life with family, mm-hmm. different situations, and, you know, how to deal with it. And that is mental health. So you go tell me, you go visit a therapist, and don't get me wrong, I'm not talking against therapists or anything like that, but I'm just showing how what the similarities are. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you go talk to a therapist, and they're educated in the field, and you're going to get their perspective or opinion, whatever they gathered throughout their studies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to come to their conclusion.
Yeah.
Trying to help you. And how many times have you heard, oh, that therapist wasn't for me, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't help me. They didn't understand my situation. And we're talking about human beings, you know,
right.
So what you get from one therapist, you're not going to get from the other one or the next one. It's going to be all different,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And when to your point where, you know, faith is solid, is that you're going to go to it and it's going to be consistent. Yes. You'll have a, you know, a priest or someone give a homily. They're going to give their take on that one, you mm-hmm. know,
that one passage,
but the passage is not going to change. It's going to stay constant, and you'll get different perspective and different angles, you know, from a priest or, you know, a homily or whatever the case may be. But
mm-hmm.
The point is that it, in a way, it is mental health. You know, it does give you that.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I'm sure throughout the entire Bible, there's a, for whatever you're going through, there's a chapter and a verse somewhere in there that's going to help you understand or help you get through whatever you're going through. You know, and that's the thing with faith. It's just, you know, yeah, life is hard, right? Things are going to get difficult. Not everything's going to go our way. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, we're blessed to be here, right? We're blessed to be alive and able to spend another day with our family, right? To just be in this world, right? But, you know, I think kind of going to your point, is like, you know, Latinos, for the most part, yeah, we're raised on with religion, right? Catholic, Christian, you know, we're either or, it's like we're raised with one of those. So God is a part of our upbringing. And kind of to the point you're making about, like, or what you had read about them, you know, Latinos losing their faith. I can see that, because, you know, we're talking about probably second, third generation Latinos that have been here for a long period of time. You know, that have lived through, you know, not even saying the Pledge of Allegiance anymore, because it says one nation under God. You know, any kind of prayer, trying to remove the "In God We Trust" out of, you know, off our money, or just any mention of God anywhere. TV, just in general, right? It's removed and it's replaced by all the things that we've talked about before, as far as, you know, these celebrities, this music, everything else that gets their attention or manipulates them, influences them to then idolize those people. Because then there's that issue too, right? You lose your faith in God or don't establish a concrete faith in God, but then you idolize these other human beings that just have, you know what I mean? They're celebrities, well known, but they're, at the end of the day, they're nobody.
Yeah. But
you know, people, if they live their life without God, something else will take that place. And you know, yeah, celebrities, you know, you see people that are like, it's weird, like they get obsessed with things, right? Obsessed with the celebrity, obsessed mm-hmm. with the TV show, social media, obsessed whatever, and that's their, you know, that drives them, that gives them their, how could I put it,
belief system.
Yeah and then yeah. And it all becomes about that and not about, you know, yeah, God is just basically just missing from a lot of people. He was taken out, you know,
from. Yeah, I mean, look, it's like, you know, a lot of people make, you know, fun of religion, like, you know, it's a cult and mm-hmm. and things like that. And you hear these politicians and people follow them, and these politicians are they're being sponsored, you know, or supported by corporations and stuff like that, and they're pushing certain things, and it's like, but you know, they believe everything that they tell them, you know, even though they're not following through with their word, you know, that they said that they were going to do once they gained a certain position in politics, right? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, you know, they have their faith on in a human being that, you know, isn't living up to what, you know, they're promising the people, you yeah. know, and it's kind of like they're bashing one thing, but they're accepting something blindly, you know, let's call it faithfully, yeah. you know, in someone that isn't, you know, following through and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, going back to replacing certain thing, you know, like, you know, religion with certain things mm-hmm. is like medicine. You know, we'll go back to the mental health thing, is that, you know, instead of exploring and studying different things, you know, and that could help you in religion, mm-hmm. then, you know, take this medicine, you know, that's going to make you feel better about, you know, certain things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to make you, you know, it's going to give you mental health and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're depending on people to prescribe us something to make us feel better, but they're giving us medicine. And going back to, you know, certain politicians sponsoring certain things, or, you know, being sponsored by certain companies and stuff like that. And, you know, it's no secret, Big Pharma, you know, does a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So is it a big surprise that, you know, they're pushing, you know, medicine pills, you know, for mental health? You know, growing up, you know, kids, you really didn't hear about, you know, attention disorders and stuff like that with, you know, kids. It's like, mm-hmm. I saw this thing about kids is that they're meant to be curious. They're meant to test boundaries and, you know, be full of energy and stuff like that. But now we just call it, you know, an attention disorder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's a pill, you know,
relax. For that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of crazy that, you know, faith gets pulled away, but it gets replaced with a bunch of other things, like, you know, what we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you said this earlier before we went on. It's like it affects the culture too, right? Because kind of like what I was saying, right? You grow up in a religious home. You kind of that gets ingrained in you, right? So that as I'm growing up, I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna do drugs. I'm not gonna, you know, fight people. I'm not going to try to murder anybody because I'm trying to live a life where, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I'm trying to live a life that God would approve of. And like I said, it's like you want to get to heaven, right? Because you know the difference now between good and evil. And so a lot of kids don't have that. So that's why you see like the culture is so messed up, right? You'll see, you know, groups of, you know, I don't know, people running into a store and bashing it all up and stealing stuff. You'll see a group of people jumping a person. You know what I mean? Like all these things that
if these, it's like missing, missing like a moral compass.
Exactly.
It's like they have no moral direction on, you know, where to go or where they should be going or, you know, what path to go in. It's like, this is what popular culture or this is what the influencers are saying. And that's what I'm going to do. Is it good? I don't know. I don't care. Is it bad? I don't know. I don't care. Let's do it.
Yeah. You know? And it's all just, they're not thinking about, there is no thought on their spirit, their soul, their, you know, how it'll affect them, how it'll affect others. It's just, they're focused on that momentary gain, you know, mm-hmm. whatever I stole from you. And, you know, now I have it. That's the gain. I won in a sense, right? I got what I wanted, or whatever satisfaction they get from, you know, jumping a person or attacking someone in the street. It's like that there is no, any person with the moral compass would not take any joy in any of that. You know, I wouldn't imagine it even crossed their mind, you know?
Yeah.
If anything, people are, you know, I don't ever think like, oh, I'm a hurt somebody, you know what I mean? For no reason. Or I don't ever think like, oh, I see what that person has, you know, I want to take it. So I'm going to do something to take it. Most of the time I'm thinking like, okay, I hope nothing happens here, because if I have to, I will defend somebody. You know what I mean? Like it's a different type of, mentality. I think it has to do with the moral compass, because, you know, I'm sure if I'm somewhere, if you're somewhere, the last thing you're going to want to see is somebody getting either attacked or something's happening to someone and you just stand by, you know? And I get there are certain situations where it's like, well, you know, it is hard to do something sometimes, but you know, for the most part, you see a lot of these videos where people are doing stuff like that. And it's like people just standing, recording.
Yeah.
Instead of helping someone out. So, you know, I can't imagine myself as someone just standing around and recording when, you know, a child is getting attacked or a woman's getting attacked. It's just it's not in them. And it's because of the lack of faith. It's because of that lack in having a higher purpose, right? That that you're trying to, you know, in a sense, best way I could put it is like you're trying to live like Jesus did on earth, right? Yeah. Jesus was without sin and he was, you know, for the most part, helping the people that were suffering.
Yeah. And it was about serving others, not yourself. So a lot of the things that people are doing these days, and I don't think, believe me, I don't think it's the majority. I think it is the minority. I think there's more good people than there are, you know, bad intentioned people, people with bad intentions, I should say. But they are the ones that stand out the most. I mean, that's just the way that it is. But it's easier to manipulate, you know, people that don't have that moral compass, you know, people that are strong in their faith and, you know, they have that moral compass aren't going to fall for, you know, the manipulation tricks or anything like that.
No, they're not. And, you know, one thing that doesn't help that where it kind of, I can see like, oh yeah, I can see why people do lose their faith. It's like a lot of the, you know, what would be the leaders of the churches, they seem weak, you know, they're trying to, how can I put it? They're trying to cater to the world. And, you know, there's parts of the Bible that, yeah, if you read them out loud today, it's going to, you know, in today's society, some people are going to get offended, you know? And, you know, it seems like there's a lot of church leaders that probably aren't wanting to offend people, right? Yeah. So they change, not that they change the word, but maybe they omit words so that, you know, I don't know, it's like a weaker version of it. And I think that causes people to lose their faith too, because it's like, you know, these people aren't even, like we said earlier, the Bible, the word, you know, the gospel doesn't change. It's there, you know, yeah. how somebody interprets it, or how, like you said earlier, how somebody says their homily is a whole different thing, because now you're talking about different people and, you know, different priests, pastors, whatever, giving you their take on it. And, you know, you can have one that's way over here and another one that's way over here, and they're reading the same chapter and verse. So, you know, I think that's part of the problem. And, you know, like we've been talking about, it's like in the culture, in society, with entertainment, it's like God rarely gets mentioned, you know? So, you know, I saw something today, because it's funny that, you know, this is the topic, but it's like, I saw that Kat Von D was baptized. So she posted a video on that. You know who that is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the tattoo artist. Yeah.
So I saw that video, and then I saw another one that what's her name? Rose, the fighter, Rose Namajunas. Mm-hmm. I forget. I don't know how to say her last name. I saw a video of her getting baptized.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. So it's like I saw both of those today actually, and it was like, okay, like this is you know, God bless them. You know, hopefully, you know, they're trying to be better examples, right, in this world. They're trying to, you know, live their life through, you know, with God in their lives. Yet they're like nobody, right? Nobody's perfect. But it's good to see that, because it kind of like, you know, in the culture scheme of things, it's like, oh, you see these, there's people that are easily influenced by, like we said before, people that have status or whatever you want to call it. And it's like, it's good to see like these outliers where people are like, oh, this person got baptized, so did this one. So it kind of gives you like that glimpse at like, yeah, it's not completely gone, right? And it could get to the point where, you know, eventually you can restore your faith, or you can, you know, have your if you didn't have one before, you can establish one. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think what happens is this, is that, and I'm talking about personal experience, is that as you're growing up and, you know, you go through your teenage years, your 20s, mid 20s, 30s, and so forth and so forth. And you get pulled away from faith. You start feeling an emptiness, a void, and you don't quite know how to, you know, explain it, or you don't know why you feel that, but you're going through life and you're kind of trying to figure it out. So you're like, you know, unfortunately, I mean, you get influenced by popular culture. You think it's something new that someone is trying, you know, presenting to you, and you're like, okay, this might be the way. You pay attention to it, you look into it, and you're like, nope, that wasn't the way. And you still have that void. Something else comes up, and you still have that void, and you kind of go through life, and you kind of come full circle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know Kat Von D's history. I don't know Thug Rose's, you know, history and what she went through in life, or how she grew up, or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I was to take a guess, maybe they went through that circle to where they ended up, you know, hopefully back in the faith that they had, or maybe, like you said, it's something new to them, period, you know, throughout their life. Mm-hmm. But the point is that, you know, I can pretty much bet that they would agree that maybe going through life, they did have a void, and they, you know, they didn't quite know what it was. And maybe, you know, they found, you know, what was missing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now they fill that void, you know, going through what they're going through right now. So, and it's kind of like the point that I was trying to make, what I was going to make is that that's what people go through, is they live their life and there's a void, there's something missing. And hopefully they get to the point where they feel it. Because I'm going to tell you one thing right now is, you know, the fake science ain't going to fill that void. You know, the idols, even though they feel like they're not idling someone, but deep, you know, they really are, you know, they're following someone else's lead on what would make them happy. Money ain't going to do it. You know, there's so many stories about people that are so wealthy that, you know, and they're still empty. You know, they're sad, they're empty. You know, they're not happy with their life. That ain't going to do it. You know, so, you know, drugs, you know, is a way to feel that pain, that void that they feel. Ain't gonna, that's not gonna fill the void. It just numbs it, you know, for them. You go to a therapist, and I know a lot of people have been helped by therapists, and that's really good. But what about the ones that, you know, that doesn't fill their void? You know, do we ever hear about those? No. So I think it's a cycle of life that you go through, you know?
Yeah. And then kind of like, you know, just as you were saying those things, it's like a lot of those things you mentioned are things that, how could you put it? They're just passing by, right? Like those celebrities, they're here, they're gone. The science of today is gone tomorrow. You know, drugs, they're here, then it's gone, and then it's something else. Like you said, therapists, it's different people giving you different things that are basically just passing by through this world, right? Like we all are. We're just passing by through this world. And you know, kind of going back to what I said earlier, it's like, well, the, you know, faith, God, the word of God, the Bible, the gospel, it's like that remains, you know? So, yes. And because it remains as it is, it doesn't change. I think that's why, like you're saying, right? You can be here and then you cycle through it and you're just going to end up back there, because at the end of the day, you know, it's my belief that, you know, God is the answer to everything, you know, and kind of going back to what we said, you know, the word of God is there, and there's something for you in the Bible, right, that will help you through whatever you're going through, right? That's why Jesus, when he was here, is speaking in parables, because he's doing that so you can have examples that you could understand, right? You can see what he's trying to, he tells you a story, but you're also learning a lesson through that story. And it's like, there's a lot of those that can apply to everyday life. And again, it's like those stories are the same, they remain. And that's why people circle back to it, because they didn't change. You can change, right? I can tomorrow, you know, tomorrow I could be like, well, I'm not going to go to church anymore and pretend I don't believe. You know what I mean? I could try to, in my mind, say, nah, I'm not going to do it no more. But then, yeah, eventually, I believe I would end up back to where I am. And that's believing in God and having faith in him. So, yeah, what you said makes a lot of sense. And I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I can only tell my personal experience, but that's basically what I went through, you know? Early 20s, being pulled away from it, you know, for different reasons. And there's always been a void, you know, kind of coming back, stepping away for certain reasons. A lot of things happening, you know, in church and stuff like that. You hear the news and stuff like that. And that's something that I think that's a real battle that everybody goes through.
Yeah, I have it. I see stories all the time that this and this, and it's like, why? You know, and then it crosses your mind. Well, it's like, I don't even want to go there anymore. You know,
yeah,
it happens.
And it does. And I mean, it's a real battle. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things where evil infiltrates everything, you know, even our churches.
Yeah.
You know, there's bad people. There's evil infiltrating all the time. And that's something that I had to learn. I had to realize when you're a kid, you don't think beyond what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a story in front of you and you don't think past that. You get stuck with what is presented in front of you. And the reality is that evil infiltrates everything. I mean, you know, we could make a correlation to, so let's, you know, religion, any religion, bad people will infiltrate it to take advantage of people. Mm-hmm. You know, people are vulnerable. They'll look for, you know, people that are vulnerable and take advantage of them. Mm-hmm. You go to school, there's bad people that infiltrate school because, you know, there's young kids there.
Mm-hmm.
And abuse them, you know, let's just be real. That's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
In politics, same thing, you know, they infiltrate politics. I mean, most of the people in politics are freaking evil.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's infiltration in everything. I mean, there's, counselors, there's therapists, mm-hmm. you know, that abuse that infiltrate that and abuse people. You know, you name it, you know, evil has infiltrated it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the stories that they put in front of us, they're awful. They're horrible. But the reality, and the mm-hmm. reality is that, like, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but, you know, evil's going to do whatever it can mm-hmm. to take advantage of people and abuse people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't just, you know, pull the switch on something and say that it's all bad. You know, what's that saying? You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got to look beyond that, you know, and mm-hmm. and I'm just talking about from my personal experience, what I went through, mm-hmm. you know, that's basically what I went through. And, you know, I come back around to make the realization that, that's evil working to pull you away from, you know, your faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, even, you know, the Bible says, right, there's going to be false prophets that saying that, you know, that they know that they are of, you know what I mean, of God, or they'll tell you in a sense what you want to hear. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's not of God. And like you said, right, it's, for the most part, it's evil because it's taking advantage of people. It's hurting people. And, you know, I think that's, you know, I think that's why, you know, we see the things that we see today, because of the lack of God in this country. Right. You know, especially the stuff with the kids and manipulating the kids and all that other stuff. It's like, you know, it's sad to see, because, you know, you're talking about you're talking about innocent kids, right? And
just imagine, you know, how you and I, we grew up religious. Imagine there being a performance where they're mocking God on a cross, on a stage, and making just
blasphemous, you know,
exactly, blasphemous, lewd, just performances, you know. And it's, imagine the impression that lives on people, and especially if they're young.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's gotta be such a mind fuck.
And that's what I don't get, man. I don't get how any parent would take their kids to that. You know what I mean? Like, I remember being, when we were, you know, growing up, anytime we'd watch a movie, like if something inappropriate came on, it's like my parents would be like, you know, forward it or don't look.
Cover your face, yeah.
And it's like, I can't for the life of me just imagine how a parent would take their kid to that and think it's all fucking fine and dandy. Like, I don't know, dude. It's like, you know, it's a free country. You do what you want to do in your own personal life, you know. Up to you. You got that free will to do whatever you want to do. But once you start kind of putting all your business out there, and not just publicly for everybody to see, it's for the kids also. It's like, you know, that's where you kind of like, nah, like, you know, that's where you're crossing the fucking line. And it's like, dude, like, no kid should have to witness that. No kid should be talking about that.
At this, look, you know, life is so hard just growing up, just
as it is.
Normal, I'm gonna say it, just a normal life without having to question your sexuality. I mean, you do that already at a certain stage of your life, like, you know, your mind goes there, but it's a certain stage of your life when you really start thinking about that stuff. When you're exposed to that at a young age, that's completely different. Mm-hmm. Once you see things, you can't unsee them.
Yeah.
And you're taking away that innocence. And that's exactly what they're doing. And, you know, there's been some rallies and some marches. And look, LGBTQ and whatever other letters and acronyms they added to that is also, look, it may have good intentions, mm-hmm. but we've got to admit that they've been, you know, hijacked too. They've been infiltrated by evil too. You know what I mean? So they're being taken advantage of. So when I've seen some of those marches and some of these people that have infiltrated, you know, their movement, because there are, you know, people in the LGBTQ that protect the kids too,
yeah.
you know, protect their innocence, but they're shouting, some of these people that have infiltrated them in these marches, they're shouting, "We're coming after your kids," you know, and stuff like that. So I'm not saying that they're all, you know, that that's their agenda, but I mean, it, you know, there's videos out there that, you know, show that. So when they're coming after the kids that way, I mean, that's rough, man.
Yeah.
You know, they're straight up taking that innocence away. And like I was saying, once you see something, you can't unsee it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And for, you know, the point that you were making, for the parents to be, to allow that, where is their moral compass at?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And going back to my original point is, life is hard enough trying to just grow up without that. It's already challenging enough with everything that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But you put that on top of it, right? It makes it that much more difficult, right? And imagine what we went through COVID. So how many stories did we hear about, you know, statistics about kids with depression,
mm-hmm.
you know, isolated, you know, no social life, you know, everything's, you know, Zoom or meetings through the computer and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You don't have that social interaction anymore. They're depressed. You add another layer on top of that. So you've got, you know, normal everyday growing up pressure, you know, being exposed to, you know, things that take away your innocence, mm-hmm. right? You know, COVID, a pandemic, a fake pandemic. On top of that, it's like, what are we trying to do here? Are we trying to just crush people, mentally break them down, spiritually break them down? That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah. I don't know. That's like, that seems like, yeah, that's the plan, right?
Trying to stimulate them, trying to, you know, with money, drugs, entertainment, I don't know. I mean, you know, we all know that's not going to fulfill someone's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's temporary things, you know what I mean? Temporary things of this world that hold no value or give you no value either, right? To your life. They don't,
you know, those things that I just mentioned right now are self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm trying to think, how much joy do I get out of those things, you know, self-serving things, as opposed to serving someone else? What gives me more joy?
Yeah.
And you know what I like? I like helping people. That makes me feel real good.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I see someone that doesn't believe in themselves, you know, in their self's ability to do something, right? Just something simple like that. And I'm able to help them and see that they are able to do more than they think that they can.
Mm-hmm.
In helping them that way, it makes me feel real good and gives me more joy than, you know, doing something self-serving for me. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, because kind of, you know, based on what you said, right? It's like, you know, because it seems like they're trying to tear the kids down, right? And but when you do something like that, it's like you're actually helping build someone up, right? So that feels better, right? When it's like, okay, cool, I help this person. Now you see the person is capable of doing what, like you said, what they maybe they thought they didn't do. And then you just see them excelling at it. And it's like, it feels good because it's like, you know, you helped in that. You played a part in that. In somebody being better, you know, than they were before, basically. You added value to it, right? Versus, you know, where you take away all this stuff from, especially like in the examples you gave with the kids, and you give them all this pressure and all that. It's like you're tearing someone down. You're gonna, you know, kids are impressionable. Kids are, like you said, they're growing, they're learning, they're confused. And that's the last thing they need. It's just more and more of that stuff thrown onto them. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's like when you're talking about depression and all that, it's like, yeah, it makes people want to give up.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, what's the motive for wanting to do that to people? I've never really, you know, spoken to someone about that. It's like, what type of person would do that? You know, and right now, as I'm saying these words, it's like answering my own question is someone that's unhappy, that's miserable, mm-hmm. and doesn't want to see other people be happy and miserable. They want to tear them down at the same time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they're self-serving and maybe they do get joy out of that.
Yeah.
Because we know that a lot of these, you know, career politicians, that's how they've gotten wealthy. And I can't believe that they're happy, man. I refuse to believe that they're happy. You know, I always use this example as like, you know, as you're doing things throughout the day, your mind is kind of distracted and it's, you know, thinking about all kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go home and you lay down and it's dark and you're lying there and it's quiet, that's when your mind just starts going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more distractions. And if you're unhappy, you start thinking about all the things that make you unhappy. If you're mm-hmm. stressed, you start thinking about all the things that stress you out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're, what about a happy person that's laying down there, you know, in bed?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
You sleep like a baby. And it's like you think about these politicians and they're freaking tossing and turning. Just miserable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people that would do that, man, is people with no moral compass. People that, like you said, right, maybe they're miserable, they're unhappy, and they want to do the same to others, right? You know, that's why the one of the main things you hear is like, oh, or like, I don't know if you want to call it excuse, whatever you want to call it, but like one of the main things you hear, it's like, oh, you know, this person, especially with the agenda, with the kids, with the, you know, sexuality and all that, it's like, oh, because they're not themselves. They're not them. They're real selves. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like that kind of stuff. It's like, well, maybe you're not your real self. You're miserable. Maybe you didn't figure your stuff out. And now you're projecting your, you know, whatever you got going on in your life onto this kid. And you're trying to normalize your failures or your misery onto this kid. And, you know, it's a sad thing because, yeah, there's a lot of kids again.
You know, it's like a cycle, you know, that saying hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of like what you're saying is that it's people projecting their struggles onto someone else. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's a cycle that sometimes I've even thought this is that they don't even realize that they're doing it, which is crazy.
Yeah. But,
you know, I think that's a real thing. You know, a lot of people are hurting people or pulling people down without even realizing it.
Mm. Yeah. But yeah, so, yeah, that's true. But I think now it's like, it's focusing on the kids. Like that's where it's more infuriating though, because it's like you said, it's like you're taking their innocence, right? Mm-hmm. You're affecting their lives so young. Now they're growing up and they're so fucking confused. And it's like, you know, that's what you know, as a kid, you're probably confused most of the time either way, you know, as to why is this happening? You know, why are parents struggling with the rent? Like, why is this? Why is that? You know, you're confused as to why life is the way it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, as an adult, you're still in a, not that you're confused, you probably understand it more, but it's still, you still don't understand why things happen the way they do sometimes.
It's like we said in the beginning, is life is hard. Life is really hard. And everybody goes through a struggle. You know, some people have it worse than others. Mm-hmm. There's a saying, it's like someone's always got it worse. That's it. So, you know, you've got a sick family member or sibling or whatever the case may be, you know, someone's lost all of their family, you know, someone's, you know, an orphan or, you know, has had like, you know, a really bad childhood being abused. And, you know, we can go on and on and on and on and on. But the point is that we all have our struggles. We all got our own cross that we have to carry, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to be a little bit more understanding. And, you know, we've talked about this in the past, is that with everything that, you know, we've been talking about right now, I strongly believe that there are more good people in this world than that they are bad. Mm-hmm. It's just the bad, you know, garner more attention because, I mean, they're doing bad shit.
Yeah. So,
you know, that stands up a little bit more than, you know, people doing good things, you know, every day. So, you know, we've kind of talked about, you know, good people having that fighting spirit. You know, we need more and more and more of that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes back to, you know, having that open line of communication with, you know, your kids, your siblings, and stuff like that. And just let it be known that there are more good people than there are bad.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true, man. It's how can I put it? Kind of lost the thought that I had, but it left my mind. I wanted to say something and it went away.
Oh well, I mean, there's so many different things and emotions, you know, when it comes to this type of stuff that, you know, a lot of people really don't talk about it, but you have heard it before, you know, it's a spiritual war that we're going through. Mm-hmm. And I think if you want to get really, really deep, you know, that's what life is. It's a spiritual war. You know, and if you look at it in those terms, people deal with it differently. People battle through it differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I haven't told a story in a long time, but to tell a story, you know, that, you know, I lived, I experienced with someone. So when I had my own shop, you know, I gave work to this one kid. He was pretty young, in his early 20s, and he came from like Puebla or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have any family out here or anything like that. So, you know, it just, I really didn't even need the help at the shop, but, you know, he came by and he was like, hey, I'll clean up, I'll do whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I said, okay, well, go ahead and, you know, clean up. So I allowed him to clean up and stuff like that. And he did a really good job. So he would leave and, you know, come back and in a week or two, and he would help me, you know, clean up the shop and stuff like that. And, you know, it happened several times, right? And I ended up having not a really close relationship, but, you know, enough to where I could say that he was my friend. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he stopped showing up all of a sudden. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, I wonder what happened to him, or he must have moved or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a year goes by, 2 years go by. And then by that time, I didn't have the shop anymore. But I was driving by and I saw him on the street.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually, he looked homeless, you know, like he'd been living out in the streets and stuff like that.
Mm.
So I stopped by, I bought some water, some Gatorades, and I gave him some money. And I'm like, hey, are you okay? You know, what's the deal? And he didn't want to tell me much because you could tell that he was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. You know, the shame type of feeling. And I saw him again and he looked worse. And he kind of opened up a little bit more. And he told me, you know, that he had messed up. He was addicted to drugs and stuff like that. And, you know, I offered some help. He didn't want any help, but, you know, I gave him water again and stuff like that. Then I saw him for a third time. And that's when he opened up a lot more. And he told me that the reason that he got into drugs and he lost his way is because he fucked up, you know. So he explained to me that when he came over, you know, with the people that had crossed them over to come over to the United States,
mm-hmm.
they had taken the deed to his house in Mexico. And then he was working to pay them back. So he was falling behind on the payments. And, you know, these people ended up taking the home. And they kicked out his sister and brothers, his siblings, back in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they did that, he was really ashamed, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was ashamed, and he couldn't face his sisters and brothers. They had disowned him and stuff like that, and he turned to drugs.
Mm.
And that's what I'm talking about, is that, you know, people go through things in life, and that's how they try to fill that pain, that void. You know, for example, with drugs, within loses way. And that's what happens when, you know, you separate yourself, you know, from a faith or a belief or something like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you allow that, you know, to happen to you, you lose your way.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to fill that void.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a tough story for me, because I saw someone that was young and well motivated and in a good headspace, and then, you know, things like that happen, and then they go off in the wrong path, you know.
Yeah No, it's sad, you know. It's sad to hear that, and, you know, imagine seeing it, you know what I mean. But, you know, I think you know, the thing that I was going to say when you had said before was like, well, you know, I think that's why it's important, as far as like, also who you're with, right? As far as like your, if you want to call it your circle or whatever, who you're spending time with, who you're giving time to. Because like you said, there are a lot of bad people, you know, but there are more good people. And it's like when you notice or you see somebody that, again, like I said earlier, it has no benefit to you as far as, you know, whether you're going to have any personal growth or your faith is going to grow, or, you know what I mean? Like that there's no benefit as far as, and not to make it sound self-serving, but it's like, there are certain people that have like that negative energy, that have that bad energy, bad influence, whatever you want to call it, right? And in a sense, like you're not going to gain nothing from those people. And it doesn't always have to be that you're gaining, in this, you know, so to speak, but it's like they take away from whatever, you know, your situation, right? From your happiness, from whatever you got going on. And, you know, there's people that, you know, like you said, they have joy in being in situations like that, right? Or just drama, or they have voids and they're filling them with drugs. And it's like, you know, you can't be around that either, because, yeah, you know, the close, you know, obviously, like you said, like you have it in your mind and you know, right, you have a moral compass. But it's like, you know, certain people, if you're around that all the time, it will eventually like affect people. You know what I mean? Where, yeah, it's like, yeah, I'll try the drug now. You know what I mean? Or, yeah, you start to struggle and it's like, well, you know, let me have some of that.
Yeah.
I think the more you kind of not have those type of people with the people you associate with, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's a better, in the long run, for you as a person, you're better off.
Yeah, I think there's different situations to that. So, you know, there's times, like, for example, I knew that me being around this friend of mine, mm-hmm, when he was in a bad way, he wasn't ready for the help. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And of course, if I put myself in his space and expose myself or family members to it, or, you know, whatever, it could be bad. Then he could influence, you know, me or other people around me that I care about. But he wasn't ready. You know, I put myself out there, you know, take him to a clinic, you know, get cleaned up and stuff like that. Refuse to and stuff like that. But I think it's one of those, you know, how I was saying is that, you know, it's like a cycle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to go through things in life before you arrive to that point where you're like, okay, I'm ready, type, mm-hmm, of thing. And sometimes I think the hard part to realize is that sometimes people unfortunately may never get ready, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be adult enough, or, you know, mature enough to know that that's a possibility, is that someone might not arrive to that point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I get what you're saying, and just how those people are bad energy, sometimes they need our good energy. You know, it's like lending, you know, like a hand, you know, I'm here for you, type of stuff. But yeah, you're right, you have to protect yourself. You can't expose yourself to that too much, to the point where it affects you, right? Mm-hmm. It takes you to that dark place where you start feeling voids with negativity. You know, you want that void to be filled with positivity, you know, good things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree with you on that sense.
Yeah, and then just kind of, you know, just kind of this thought came to my mind too. It's like a lot of people lose faith too, because, you know, prayer is an important part of faith, right? And I think a lot of people also lose the faith because they feel like their prayers don't get answered. You know what I mean? I think people, people have, you know, it's not a wish. It's not like, it's not like God's a genie, right? And I'm going to pray for this and it's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And I think people lose the faith because of that. But, you know, I think prayer is super important when you're, when things are going good, things are going bad, you know, at any point, every day, I think prayer is really important. And, you know, you might not get the answer right away, but there's always something that either comes up or happens that kind of, oh wow, like this is the answer, you know what I mean? Or there's times where, like you said, man, if you do your best to make it to Mass, right? There's been times when you know I'm at Mass and you know there's things on your mind, right? Because again, you're human, right? You got struggles, you got this going on, work, whatever, family, and you know you'll go to Mass and then the priest that gives a homily says something and it sounds like he's speaking directly to you, so it's like you get your answer there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
that's one thing that you know people definitely got to try to make the time to get to Mass, right? At least, you know, at least once a week. You know, if you can do more and more, but I think people need to dedicate that time also. I think that's beneficial because again, you see the community that's there. You know, mm-hmm. You see other people that are there. You know, everybody's going through their stuff, but you see that, okay, these people, you know, have their faith. They're here. And again, moral compass, right? You're just trying to be a better person. You're trying to not live a sinful life. You're trying to make, you know, the best decisions that you can with you know, the knowledge that you have. So, you know, that's what I think. I think going to Mass and you know, praying, you know, every day, you know, in the morning or before you go to sleep, whatever, right? You know, I think if you make time for that stuff too, it also strengthens the faith that you have, and none of that is encouraged, you know, and, you know, on TV, nobody's telling you to pray, you know, no mainstream celebrity is telling you to, you know, go to Mass. They're not focused on that.
Right now that you said that, the last person that's told us to go pray, was it Hulk Hogan? Did he? What was it that he used to say? Take your vitamins and
say your prayers
or something like that.
No, but I mean, you know, it's that's why people lose faith because they don't put the effort. And they're filling the voids with other things. And we got to kind of, you know, don't let that happen to us. You know what I mean? We got to keep our faith. And I think, you know, for the most part, we understand, you know, as you get older, you understand more and more. Life is a struggle. Not everything's going to go your way. And if it doesn't go your way, you're not going to give up. You know what I mean? And you're not going to say, you know, to hell with everything. It's like, no, you learn from it. You pray, you know, you keep your faith. And again, God will get you through it. Because, you know, God does test us, right? He tests our faith and how we will react to certain things. He did that in the Bible, you know, the stories that you read. Like he tested a lot of the you know, people in the Bible, disciples. You know, was it Abraham? I'm going blank now. Abraham, right? With sacrificing his son. He's like, he tested him, you know, to see if his faith was there. And, you know, God will test us. We're no different, you know, just because we know about the Bible and all that stuff, we're still going to get tested. So, you know, we have to know that, again, at the end of the day, we got to keep our faith. Our belief in God and you know that no matter what, he is with us.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. Well said.
All right. Well, I mean, that was a pretty good conversation. I don't think we've ever had that conversation.
No, and I think it's important because it's one of those ones that no one really touches. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, it's like real quick, you know, mention here, a mention there, but it's a real thing, man. And it's, you know, going back to not trying to dismiss, you know, like real science. And, you know, science is science. I mean, God created the science. How can, you know, religious people be science deniers? It's like, yeah. You know, you've got scientists and doctors that are atheists, and then, you know, they're deep into their studies and practices. And then, you know, they get to a point where like, hey, look, after being a doctor or a scientist and breaking down atoms and everything, you know, there's like a code there. And yeah. A code means that, you know, there has to be someone that created the code. And then they end up being believers. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, who the hell wrote the code? You know what I mean? So, you know, to say that religious people are science deniers, well, you're just following, you're regurgitating a talking point for atheists or non-believers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And, you know, no one's dismissing psychologists, therapists, or anybody, you know, that studies that. But, you know, that's not the only answer, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you said it, is that, you know, for every situation that someone's going in their life, there's a passage. You know, you said it, you go to a church, you hear a homily, and it's speaking directly to you, mental health. You understand it. It helps you through it, mm-hmm. You know? There's a lot of examples, you know, of that.
Yeah.
So I'm not here saying, you know, science denier or anything like that. Hey, medicine too. There's medicine that, you know, is needed, but then let's be real, you know, there's lobbyists that come from the pharmaceutical sector, mm-hmm. You know, and they're going to push those pills.
Yeah.
But do you really need them? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when there's influencers behind it and they're pushing pills, I just saw a movie about the opioid crisis and stuff like that, how it got, you know, pushed.
Mm.
And, you know, they're manipulating data and, you know, getting it pushed and approved through the FDA and stuff like that.
Mm.
And then you've got, you know, doctors being lobbied, you know, paid off, you know.
Yeah.
And then they start prescribing the pills. I mean, those are facts. Those are things that actually do happen, did happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for real. Yeah. God is science.
Exactly. God created science.
Yeah, real. Not Fauci.
Not Fauci, no. Uh-uh.
Speaking of Fauci, I think he's supposed to be in San Mateo today.
Doing what?
I don't know, I'm giving some speech or something. So
damn, I wish I could have been over there to boo him a little bit.
We could have sent Christian, but he's camping with the live report. But no, man, I think, you know, we need, everybody has to make an attempt, you know, to get closer to God. Right. And, you know, especially this country, we definitely have gotten, the country as a whole has gotten away from God. But, you know, kind of like you're saying, right, that's why you kind of, when it comes to politics and all that stuff, it's like you're trying to vote for people that have morals, you know, that have values. And, you know, that's one way we can combat that, right? And we just gotta, you know, continue to pray, like I said, and you know, maintain our faith. Because sometimes, yeah, stuff that happens in this country, in this state, you know what I mean? It's like why is it happening? You know, But mm-hmm. we can't give up. We just got to keep on fighting and, you know, keep our faith, because the devil wants us to give up.
Hey,
the devil wants to sit back and not do anything.
It's a battle. Mm-hmm. So we have to be warriors, and yep. We can't lose. We can't allow that to happen. And I firmly believe is that good will prevail no matter what.
Yep.
So, and things are looking up. There's more good people than bad people.
For sure. I agree with that. All right. Well, good conversation. I think, next week we'll have Peter on, so we could talk about more of his campaign and all that. That's kicking off soon. But, you know, overall, I think this was a good conversation. Hope people enjoyed it. And, you know, until the next one.
Sounds good.
All right, then, everybody. Have a good one.